stay awake. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here today. We are going to worship and fellowship together and celebrate Holy Communion together. So it's going to be a good day, right?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. A couple quick announcements. Be sure to fill out your Connect cards and drop them in the offering envelope or in the offering plate this morning as it comes around. You find that in your bulletin. And be happy if you fill that out and send any messages to myself or the office. That's the best way to do that. A couple of quick announcements. Our Vacation Bible School, we had our adult volunteer meeting last week. But this Saturday, July 8th, we're going to have our youth volunteer meeting at 3 o'clock, right? That's still 3 o'clock, Robin. So our young people that are going to be helping with that. And you're getting word out to the other ones, I'm sure, about the meeting. So if you know anyone that wants to help out, be sure and send them along for next Saturday's meeting. Well, we had 28 folks go out to the ball game the other night. And thanks to Larry, Nancy, and my mother, it didn't rain. Because they stayed home. See, if any of those three would have gone, it would have rained. So we thank you all for staying home, and we had a nice time at the ball game. So we had 28 folks that went up to the ball game. So we're grateful for that. There's a lot going on in the life of your church. VBS is coming up in a couple of weeks. And today, after church, Nancy and I are going to be bugging out of town for a couple of days. We'll be back Tuesday, late afternoon. So if you have any emergencies, you can still call me. And if you need someone, I can find someone to come and be with you as well during that time. But I'm not telling you where we're going, but we're just leaving town for a couple of days. We'll be back. You know, keep it to yourself. Now I have to tell them, right? We're going over to San Antonio, just a few hours. We're going to sit on the beach for a couple days. Do nothing else. I'm only taking a t-shirt and swimming trunks, so we're good. I'm ready to worship. Are you?
Yes.
Let's now prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning.
Thank you.
inviting us to rejoice and find eternal love in love of God and others. Would you pray with me? Wellspring of grace, teacher of truth, breath of resurrection, you welcome us into your life and invite us to welcome others with a cup of water, a bite of bread, and a moment of holy conversation. As we drink from the overflowing spring of your endless love, fill our hearts with thanksgiving and joy, that we may become the body of Christ, pouring our lives into a world that yearns to be filled. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's time to say praises to the Lord.
Make a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 43, verse 17.
Jim, come on up.
Not here.
what's your name? Oh, Cody, come on up, Cody. Do you trust? Now, wait a minute. You actually get to pick one of us to help you in this. Who would you like to pick? You can pick me if you want to, or Devin, or Kat. She's an impressive girl. Mess this thing up. Who would you like to help with this? Devin? Okay, Devin. So you trust Devin. I should have said it. You got to pick somebody you trust, right? Okay, you stand facing the altar, Cody. Okay, you just stand right here. Devin, no, you got to face that way, okay? Okay, Devin, you stand behind it. Stand right behind it, about like this close behind it, okay? Now, I'm going to ask Cody to do something without even looking. And this is about trust. Do you trust Devin still? Okay, I just want you to fall backwards and Devin is going to catch you. So you trusted him enough to fall back. You might have fallen right to the floor. You want me to stand behind you and we'll do it again? No, he doesn't want to do that. Okay, let's see. I don't trust you quite that much. Now that you know what the deal is, you don't quite trust me. Because I like to have fun. It might be fun if you fell on the floor, right? Do you think you could catch me if I just fell out or something? You know what? My heart tells me that you wouldn't try to catch me. But I would smush you like a pancake. So I wouldn't be up to you because I don't think any of you could catch me. We'd all three of you together couldn't catch me. So my point of all this, why am I saying all this? Who should we really trust?
God.
God. All right. Jim got that right this morning. We should trust God, shouldn't we? Absolutely. We're going to talk about it today. You guys are going to be in Sunday school, and I'm sure you're going to talk about God in Sunday school. But we're going to talk about trusting God enough that when things are tough, we're going to trust God to help us through tough things, right? Do you do that now, or are you still working on that? Because that's kind of scary, isn't it? If we just say, God, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to let you take care of it. And I'm just going to be good and obedient to you and let you handle my life, okay? Is that what we all should do? Yes, it is. And how many of you do you do that? Let me ask these people. How many of you do that? Trust God.
I do.
Okay, a few of them. Okay, they're changing their mind now. I think most people are going to be in church while they're here just to see me. So I'm not very good looking at them now. No, they're here because they trust God is working in their life. So today, we're going to trust God, and we're going to have good friends that we can trust enough that when we fall, they're going to help catch us. Amen. Amen. Let's have a prayer. Gracious God, thank you for these precious young people. Father, they are awesome, and I am so grateful that you have placed them here to be with us. And we just pray a blessing of trust upon them today. As well as all of us, Lord, we should trust you in everything we do. We thank you for them, and are forever eternally grateful. In Jesus' name, we all say,
Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you guys. You guys are going to Sunday school. Cat's going to stick around. All right. Go before the throne of Christ, and we just get to be God's people today and bring God the cravings of our heart, the things that are troubling us today. Today and now is a place that we bring that forward. I do pray for all the pastors today showing up in Methodist churches for the first Sunday. It must have been a long time for me because I knew I had a good feeling about being here, but I didn't feel, was I stressed out? A little nervous, okay. But you know what? It's a blessing to show up at a new church and with the promise of the future and and the new things and the new ministries that can take place. Just because I've been here 6 years, there's new things for us to do and new ministries here as well. So I want us to be in a spirit of prayer for the pastors today, that their new appointments, and just for how God is going to work in the Methodist Church. Keep us in prayer as a church for the new things that will be taking place in the next couple of years. So just be in prayer for your church and your denomination. We have some folks to lift up this morning. Darren is asking for prayers for Alan, a friend of his who's had a heart attack that is in JFK. So we're definitely lifting up Alan today for healing prayers. Kim Franks, a friend of Sharon, my Aunt Sharon, has stage 4 colon cancer. So we're lifting up Kim this morning. Not sure of her salvation, so let's just pray that she finds the Lord in these next months as she deals with cancer. Teresa Wilhelm will be traveling down to Columbia. She's soon to be a grandmother. Teresa's not here today, though, is she? She's over with the kids. But, yeah, she'll be traveling. Actually, this week, I think she's going maybe tomorrow. So keep her. And Rebecca is her daughter, having the baby. And Rossman as well. Karen Snyder is lifting up a PET scan. Have you had a PET scan yet? So Karen will be having a PET scan to see how the treatments are working. And I would pray for the doctor just to come back and say, what's in there? Okay, we're just praying for that. We are to be in such fervent prayer for Karen and all of the healing that needs to take place in her life and her family as well. We're lifting up David and Devin too, as it's been a struggle for all of them. So just keep the Schneider family in your prayers. Continuing to pray for John Ben. That upcoming Peggy, that's Peggy Morphy's brother. He is doing well though and progressing well. Anna, okay, so. Mary Hannah is just asking for prayers and blessings and rest now that we did have a service on Friday for Aubrey Miller and one on Saturday for Stan and Anna here. And we just celebrated two lives long lived and just a celebration of all the things they've done and the lives they've touched as well. So, Mary, we're definitely keeping you in our prayers. My nephew Bobby Branson as well, my mother's grandson, obviously. I got text about midnight, night before last, that he had been mugged or beaten or something. He lives up at Deltona, and they were rushing him to the hospital. So I don't know quite yet what his condition is, but pretty serious, I think. So Bobby Branson as well. We're praying for a sister, just for continued health, and she's a servant of God, so we're lifting her up this morning as well. Some other folks this morning, we're lifting up Donna Harris. She had her hip replacement on Monday. She spent a few days in the hospital, and she is home now recuperating and starting physical therapy. So just be in prayer for Donna for a quick healing and for the pain to subside. It's been very painful for her as well. I visited with Dorothy Leone this week as well. She is just as spunky as ever, and we had a great visit. But just for God's grace and peace and for his comfort to be with Miss Dorothy. Adele DeVries as well, Barbara Russell's sister, has been placed in hospice care, and she's just dealing with those issues, in the life issues as well. Sally Chanel, I think we mentioned this last week, has had a diagnosis of breast cancer, and she has upcoming cancer treatments and doctor's follow-up, so keep Sally and all of the Chanel family as well. Sean Nelson, Mark Eagle's brother. Mark Eagle is Maria's brother, Sean Nelson is Maria's boyfriend, right?
No, it's her boyfriend's brother.
I know, Sean is Mark's brother.
Right.
People not lead such complicated lives. Alex Malconi will be having knee surgery still on July 8th. Alex, 11th. Oh, I very got to change the date on that, July 11th. We do continue to lift up Robin and Ann. Robin's going to be here next Sunday at church, and then after church, she's flying up to New York to have her testing done for a liver transplant. So we're going to be in extended prayers for you. We'll have laying on of hands on Robin next Sunday, so be prepared for that. Robin will give you a heads up on that so you don't freak out. But we want to pray for you because you need God's provision for this to all work out, and then just for her and Ann both to just be in perfect health after this transplant. So we're going to pray you up before we send you off to New York next Sunday. So that's all the more reason to be in church next week. Amen.
Amen.
I know there's many things you bring with you this morning, things gone unsaid. Trust that God hears all our needs and our prayers. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful just for the witness of the two saints that we laid to final rest these past 2 days. Father, both Audrey and Stan were examples of people living out their calling. People that touched others. People that recognized you as their Savior. So, Father, I just pray for those families that are grieving and mourning their loss today, that they would feel God's peace and comfort carrying them through these times. Father, today we pray for all of those. The list is long. Father, we pray today that we see you moving in each one of these situations mentioned. That you would bring healing where it is needed, mending of relationships, financial stability, a roof over our heads. Whatever our needs, Lord, we lift them up to you today. Father, we pray that your divine guidance would show us the way to go, and that we could trust our own selves to trust you. Father, I pray today that we will be a people that come seeking you. That we would not try to do life on our own. That we would seek you before any decisions are made, before any action is taken, that God is consulted. So, Father, today we lift up our loved ones. We lift up those that do not know you, ones that we love, and the ones that are wandering in the world lost. So, Father, today, we come to you as believers. We come to you as followers. We come to you as a people of hope and joy. Father, we love you. We pray that your light would shine brightly in this darkened world. Once again, Father, the world, the news, is filled with sad and bad things happening. People hating one another. People being ugly to one another. People that do not love the way you taught us through Jesus. So, Father, we pray your divine blessing on our service today as we celebrate Holy Communion. We partake of these sacraments that would not be possible without Jesus. So, Father, today, we come as a humbled and broken people, knowing that our eternal salvation and our life on this earth is made better by knowing you. So, Father, bless our time together today. We pray in the holy and precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
This scripture really is something I want you to take to heart. It's in Hebrews, and it's chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. Call to live in hope, let us share the blessings we have so richly received from God. With the ushers, please come forward to receive our offering.
Thank you.
our scripture reading this morning, I would invite you to do that. Our scripture this morning is coming from Genesis 22, 1 through 14. I've been spending a little time in the front of the Bible. See how it's so lopsided up there? I hope when y'all come in, you look at the Bible, you know where we're preaching from that day. Hear these words, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. After these events, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham answered, I'm here. God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him up as an entirely burnt offering there on one of the mountains that I will show you. Abraham got up early in the morning, harnessed his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. Together with his son Isaac, he split the wood for the entirely burnt offering, set out, and went to the place God had described to him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place at a distance. Abraham said to his servants, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will walk up there, worship, and then come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the entirely burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. He took the fire and the knife in his hand, and the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. Abraham said, I'm here, my son. Isaac said, here's the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the entirely burnt offering? Abraham said, the lamb for the entirely burnt offering. God will see to it, my son. The two of them walked on together. They arrived at the place God had described to him. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. But the Lord's messenger called out to Abraham from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Abraham said, I'm here. The messenger said, don't stretch out your hand against the young man, and don't do anything to him. I now know that you revere God and didn't hold back your son, your only son, from me. Abraham looked up and saw a single ram caught by its horns in the dense underbrush. Abraham went over, took the ram, and offered it as an entirely burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham named that place, the Lord sees. That is the reason people today say, on this mountain, the Lord is seen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, if we are called to sacrifice something so dear to us, Father, let us trust you. Thank you for these words this morning. We pray that we would be as strong. We pray in the holy name of our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. That's a pretty tough story this morning, isn't it? An only son? So we're kidding around with the kids this morning about trust. That's some trust, isn't it? I pray my heart would be as strong as Abraham. Today we're going to talk about that. And how God uses things in our lives to test our faith. Do you ever feel you're being tested by God? Do you feel like you're being tested by God? God never tempts us to sin. He wants us to make decisions that please and glorify Him. Plain speak, He wants us to do the right thing. He wants us to think of Him first when we make a decision. I've said from this pulpit before, for a lot of our problems, the reasons stem from things we've done ourselves. Decisions we've made or not made, out of fear, out of our sinful nature. This morning we're going to look at a few ways that God uses and tests our faith. What are some of the ways that God tests our faith? As Abraham did, he may ask us to give up someone or something very important to us. I don't like to do that, do you? I don't want to give up things I love and care for. I've had to in my life. And I've been blessed beyond my wildest comprehension in those times. Immediately afterward, absolutely not. Sometimes it takes years for things to come to pass. Sometimes it takes a while. So God sometimes asks us to give up someone or something that is very dear to us. Our text this morning showed Abraham, and you know the story. I've been talking out of Genesis for a few weeks now. Abraham and Sarah wanted a son, and they waited until they were old, and they said, "Well, God's given up on us. You know my message last week if you were here. Ishmael was born to Hagar, and thus the problem. Abraham and Sarah thought they needed to help God. But God still was faithful to them through that. And now when it come down to sacrificing his own son, Abraham was willing to do it. Because he trusted God to provide what was needed. The second thing God may do to test us is lead us down a difficult path. And I know many of you here today are on one hell of a difficult path. Either health, finances, a roof over our head, a job. It's rough out there, folks. But God uses those opportunities of difficulty to strengthen us and to grow our faith and our trust. I can't speak enough about trusting God. I can't stand here before you today and say, "You know what? I think I can trust God with everything about my life." And I think I can say it with a little bit of sincerity. I like to tell myself, God is in control, and you're just going to benefit from God's merciful treatment of you.
Amen.
Well, there's a lot of suffering in that merciful treatment. What is God thinking? Is there suffering in our blessings?
Yes.
Folks, and I know many of you very well, knowing you're suffering. And I'm pleading with you today to trust God. If we follow God, He will not lead us astray. And we will arrive where God wants us to be. Now, good grief. We've talked of Moses and the wanderings. Deuteronomy 8:2 says the people spent 40 years in the wilderness. But those who followed God's lead ultimately went into the promised land. Will you follow God even when your path is difficult? We spoke about this in our Bible study that wrapped up this past week. God made them wander for 30, 40 years so the people would die off that were doubtful, that didn't trust God. Moses at one point didn't trust God. He got to stand and look over and see the nice place. But the place he stood and viewed from was hell. Not hell literally, but a place, a desert mountain, Mount Nebo. Remember, Moses was 120 years old. He had to trek up the mountain to this God-forsaken place. And God said, "Look over there. That's what you could have had if you would have trusted." all those years back. I know some of us that look at things today and say, wow, that could have been me. Maybe when we were young, a path, a step to the left or a step to the right would have made all the difference in the world. A scholarship, this college that was squandered, an opportunity for a good job or a good relationship that we let fall by the wayside. And what could have been? That's what Moses was experiencing. What could have been if I would have only trusted God? That God still blessed him and honored him. The third thing he may ask us to do is go through a difficult situation. The call I got the other night about my nephew, another nephew has been swallowed up by the drug nightmare in our country. Was beaten nearly to death. His stepfather calls me or texts me for information because my brother has said, I've given up on that kid. His stepfather is still caring for this 45 to 46, I don't even know how old he is now. But his stepfather still cares about him. My brother called me and said, can you help him? I've given up on him. I tried to help him with no response. So who at midnight does the stepfather get in contact with when there's been a crisis? They were trying to get a hold of my brother with no response. So he reaches out to me. God may ask us to go through difficult situations. Stand up and be strong and trust God that you will be delivered. You will be delivered. It can never get too bad. Look at Jesus. He was in control of every situation of his life during his earthly ministry. Jesus was always in control. We see in John 6 where he fed the 5,000. Everyone knows the story. But he asks Philip, how will we feed these people? Philip said, I don't know. Send them to town and let them find something. He didn't trust Jesus, did he? And then the boy shows up with a meager lunch. Everyone was fed with plenty left over. They didn't trust Jesus. The fourth thing, God may allow us to suffer for a while. Who here is suffering from something? What's the message in our suffering? There's a message in our suffering. Acts 16 tells of Paul and Silas. Did you know Paul spent 75% of his ministry in jail? Seem fair, does it? In Acts 16, it talks about Paul and Silas were in prison. And an earthquake happened and shook down the jail. The guard comes looking for them. He's ready to slit his own throat because he would be executed if the prisoners escaped. And Paul calls out to him, don't worry, we're still here. The prison guard comes and falls at his feet. And says, I want what you guys got. I want what you've got. So was their imprisonment just to reveal the gospel to this one guard? You hear me say that all the time. Maybe all of our purposes are one person. Or maybe thousands, millions, who knows? But that one guard said, wow, this is different. I want some of that. When God allows us to suffer, do not lose faith. Understand that it's for a reason, for a purpose. Sometimes we don't have a clue what that purpose is because it seems so senseless. But there's cleansing and healing in our suffering. You ever hear of that before? Jesus suffered. There's many ways that God tests our faith. It's easy to say all we got to do is trust Him. Boom. It's easy for me to say that. And I just took it totally. I trust God. Oh yeah, I trust Him. I know it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it, I used to always say, right? This being a Christian, if it was easy, everyone would be a Christian. He tests us, but He grows us. It strengthens us. The testing refines us. I hate tests, by the way. I don't like tests. I did my course of study this past summer. I went back to my old mindset that, man, if I can just get a seat, maybe I'll slip through. Jesus did something and we were blessed. Wow, what a segue. Jesus did something and we were blessed. He suffered for us. He died for us. We benefited from someone else's suffering. Gracious God, when we reap the benefits and the rewards of someone else's suffering, it feels a little weird. It feels a little out of place. How can I benefit from someone else's suffering? It's called love. Abraham loved his son Isaac, but he was willing to give him back to God. And when he did, God provided something even greater. He provided the sacrifice. God provides. God sees. Father, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. Hear this invitation this morning. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty God, Creator of the universe, ruler of all nations, judge of all flesh, you have placed us, your people, in this land made rich, with rivers, forests, mountains, and creatures great and small. Here, you set before the founders and pioneers of this nation an opportunity beyond measure to build a realm of justice, peace, and freedom. Here, you continue to call your people, freed from the law and baptized into Christ Jesus, to be a sign of your reign in all the world. For such a place, such a vision, and such a calling, we give you thanks. Pray we may ever join afresh the dreams you set before us. As we join with your people in every land on earth and with all the company of heaven in your unceasing praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Above all, we give thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who sends us into the world to declare the good news of your kingdom to every creature. Justice to all peoples, good news to the poor, release for prisoners, sight for the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed and taken before his captives, he was at the table with his friends. That night he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, broken for you." And after the meal, he took the cup, and he raised it to his Father in heaven and said, "Father, bless this, the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for you and for many. Father God, bless this cup." And so we remember and proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pour ourselves out before you in praise and thanksgiving, a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. So pour out your Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make Christ known to us in the breaking of this bread and the sharing of this cup. Renew our fellowship in him, that we may be for the world his body poured out for the world, at this time in this nation, and at that great banquet in the fullness of your new creation, where justice flows like rivers, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, where none shall hunger or thirst, neither shall they learn war anymore. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now let us pray with the confidence of the children of God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We do the best we can to help you. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you so much. Thank you for feeding us even when we don't trust you. Father, your provision for us is made perfect in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each one of us today that we could leave here with a new sense of trust in you. That no matter what difficult path we should tread, you are always there with us, and you always bring us through to a greater glory, even greater than we can imagine. So, Father, thank you. We pray in the holy and precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's stand for our closing hymn, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, number 697. Receive this benediction. Gracious God, as we leave this place, we leave trusting you. Father, we've left our burdens here at this altar. We are leaving new, renewed, and rejuvenated people. Father, we love you. Send us forth out into this world to be a beacon of light. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.